Glory to God. But it's great to relax and just feel the presence of God. There ain't no pressure. Lord does what he wants to do. Amen. And that's what it's all about. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So thank you, Pastor and Sister Glover. Their hospitality has been wonderful. And boys, all the great food, fellowship, and of course through the years. Next week is hot dog week. Uh-oh. I know Brother Alex, he's raring to go. We be there. Or be square. No. Hallelujah. As much as I like reindeer, I like to worship God that much harder. Amen. Much as I love, I guess, basketball, that kind of stuff and all that. I should have came painted with Jesus on here today. People would have thought I was crazy. But when they have red and blue and white on the Texans, give me five, bro. Give me five. Give me five. When I have Jesus, are you a freak? No, I think you're the freak. We got it backwards. We got it backwards. Amen. All right. And thank you, Sterling Church, the Vias, of course, always. Amen. Barletts, the Sea Grace, all the ministry team, the praise and worship, the believers in the house. Amen. All of our guests today. Amen. I want to bring something to you from the book of John, chapter number 5. The book of John, chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. The book of John, chapter number 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these laid a great multitude of important folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season unto the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew what he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Will thou be made whole? The important man said unto him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saying unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I believe that you can receive anything you came for here today. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can receive it. But if you don't, guess what? God will not go against your will. Or a breakthrough, whatever you're looking for, God. He will not go against your will. All right. But in this story, this is where I get my title. I want it. At least that's what I get here. I want it. Amen. Everybody say, I want it. Pastor, bless the word, sir.
Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for your great blessing that you have in store for us, that you've rendered already, and even more yet to come. Let our faith rise now, Lord, as we hear your word, that your anointing be upon your servant. Let our hearts be open to receive, God. Bless us in a powerful way through your will and through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the King. Amen. I want it. Some of you cats don't want anything. Bring it on the llamas here today. But as I read here, ladies and gentlemen, today, the pool of Bethesda was designed for the halt, the lame and the blind. But you got to realize when you read history and you dig into this stuff here, wealth was all around the pool, but this was a designated area where those who had needs would go. They congregated on their porches. They congregated their surviving in a complete paradoxical situation. The sheep market, okay? The sheep market where they're selling and making money. On one side, people are busy moving, industries going all around, businesses is going, all kinds of activity going on, kids are playing, commerce is moving, no doubt politics are being discussed, and then you have the pool of Bethesda where folks are stuck. Think about it. Here's the deal. Five porches for five different reasons. Five different categories. They do not share the same reason, but it has left the same result. One cat is blind. That's why he's here. Another man is halt. That's why he's here. He can see but cannot move. Another man can see and he can walk, but he is withered. He can't work because he's withered. Only thing they have in common was that each of them had some kind of trauma, some problem, or physical infirmity that has brought them to this place. Now, the pool of Bethesda is also indicative of the times in which the text of the story was written. There's no medical hospitals. There ain't a medical center in Houston where to take these people that they may be made whole. This was a holding place for people who weren't dead but weren't alive. Stuck in a state betwixt and between. Not quite well enough to enter into the commerce and the life and the happenings going on around them, but not dead enough to be in the cemetery. They were stuck. Bear with me here. And every day that they lived, they enjoyed the fact that they had survived. Ever been there? They were stuck. There's no greater feeling, folks, of helplessness when you're stuck. Probably each of us here today can relate to the fact that at one time or another, we have been stuck. Every time we tried to move forward, it was like quicksand. We would find ourselves in the same place. Sinking deeper and deeper. No matter how we tried to encourage ourselves, nothing seemed to help. Some people are stuck, and I've talked to them as we travel. Some people are stuck in unresolved childhood memories. It could be things that cause us hurt and pain. Unsolved memories would cause relationship problems and hinder your relationship with God. I know we're trying to act tough here this morning. Take that crazy mask off of yourself today. And let the Lord do something for you and I today. When you make the decision to let go, the old devil will bring it up again. And you relive that over and over and over again. Come on, some people are stuck in addictions, drugs, alcohol, pornography, other things. How you'd be surprised. At the deliverance services that go on, are what people confess. Help me. I just left the house and came to church, and I just got off the internet seeing pornography. Help me. I'm in church. I'm struggling. I just smoked another joint. Oh, we got them in all denominations, my friend. Help me. I just hit my wife, but I'm here drinking and jiving. And I need help. No matter how hard you try to stop, you can't quit. You're stuck. I told you in the Sunday school lesson this morning, if I could take you to that little church, well, you know, sometimes they go up to about 70 to 100 people. If I can take you to that little church in that drug-infested city, you would see the prostitute, ex-prostitute, filled with the Holy Ghost, leading worship service. You would see a ex-witch playing. Filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Hey, yeah. You. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Yeah, I know we made mistakes and wrong choices in your life. You feel defeated, depressed. Your mistakes have left you feeling empty and devastated. You feel like you're nobody and you've given up. You're stuck. In an environment that lends itself to people who have been through catastrophic situations, it is not uncommon to lose somebody every day. So instead of celebrating the fact that you got well to some degree, the very fact that you're still alive was a celebration within itself. Huh? Talk back with me if you can. The text suggests that a pathology evolves around this pool. I've tried to go there in this message and tried to see some things, Pastor. Just try. And we see it in our communities, in our cities here today. A pathology which has been given to people who have survived. I want you to listen to them and think about you. It is possible to develop a mentality to fit your environment that simply makes the best out of a bad situation. Here it is. Maybe you find yourself in this. I'm not happy. I'm not living life to the fullest. I'm not getting the most out of life. So I'm going to bring my expectations down to my reality. And I will enjoy the fact that at least they didn't carry me off to the morgue today. For others, I'm still here. And for others in the house, we're still married. Don't look at your spouse right now. Hey. Most remember how your parents would tell you. At least they told me. Son, you still got a roof over your head. Huh? Never mind that it leaks. I was raised up in the ghetto. Second ward. All the gangs and all the banditos and all that kind of stuff. All the switchblades. And never mind that it leaks in this fiction and the roof might be caving in at any time. No? And I didn't have a full bedroom until I became 20 years old. Yeah. Yeah, hallelujah. I slept in the cot till I was 20. Yeah, hallelujah. Anyhow. Just thank God that you got a roof over your head. So right here, so some of the torture of the pool of Bethesda exists in the commerce of which it is surrounded. Because if I am down, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else is down around me, then down becomes normal. But what makes down terrible is when you are down and you can still see up. If you're going to keep people enslaved, don't teach them how to read. Because reading people escape their environment and they see the lifestyle of other people and then they want it. Don't let them have the internet computer when they might not see all the other people that they're really not barefooted and not everybody is living in huts. I was growing up. I didn't know there was a rich part of Houston. Caught the bus one day, Sister Glover. I just took a ride. I said, I don't know where this bus is going, but I hear Bissonette, Bel Air, Bissonette. They got some money on that side of town. So I'm going to pay my quarter, and I'm just going to ride and see where it takes me. Never been on that side of town. Went there, and I saw a whole new world. Because all I saw was Second Ward. All I saw was Fourth Ward Ghetto. All I saw was Magnolia, East End, and downtown Houston. Help me here today, Lord. When people see something beyond, it will literally make them want to go after it. I'm a big believer in exposure. Exposing people to different things. That's what I tell kiddo here, you know, or teenager now. Watch everything that happens. Watch everything that takes place as we travel to different, because everybody's different. It'll help you in your experience in life. And other times people don't want anything because they have not been exposed to anything. When we read that the pool of Bethesda existed because the sheep market, we don't pay any attention to it. But the contrast is glaring at me that on one hand, herds of sheep are being brought down to the marketplace to be sold, and commerce and life and productivity is going on. And on the other side, they're picking their sores. I don't really only relate to Houston because I don't know the lifestyle. Well, we've been here long enough times, but still of Sterling or Anchorage or whatever it is. I can relate to that. Here they are in Houston, driving their Cadillacs and their town cars and their gold Rolex watches. And here I am catching the bus to go to work and to downtown. And most of the time I walk to downtown and I beat the bus. And so I was telling you, they're picking their sores on the other side and they're wrapping their wounds because they are stuck in a state of survival. I am learning as a leader, folks. I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care how gifted you are to speak. I don't care how well you can play. I don't care how well you can sing. Just because you are anointed does not mean you escape the subculture that you develop around dysfunction that holds you prisoner. Sing all you want to. Canary sing, but they're still in the cage. Preach all you want to, llamas. But you can say something with your mouth that you did not live with your life. The blind had a porch. The lame had a porch. The heart had a porch. If you want to know what porch you are on this morning, look at your cotton picking cell phone. Your cell phone will tell me who you talk to and who you text to. Smile here. Whomever you spend your time talking to, that's the porch you're on. You cannot surround yourself with blindness and expect to see. Huh? You cannot run with packs of angry men or packs of angry women and expect to be happy and fulfilled. Huh? You can't hang out with a bunch of drug addicts, no good buzzers, no good nothing, going nowhere, defeated, no vision, men or women, and be an overcomer. You are what you hang. Stay close to Bishop. I gotta stay close to God. I gotta watch who I hang with. He has to be careful who he lets up here. He has to be careful in leadership. He has to be careful. You do too, within your own family. So I want to ask you, what's the name of your porch? Huh? You can't run around with prejudiced people and not be prejudiced. You can't run around with arrogant people and not be arrogant. What's the name of your porch? Blind people all got together because they understood one another. They enabled one another. They empowered one another. The blind man said, I can't see. And the other one said, I know what you mean. Some of you got it. Maybe some of you get it. We're weeding the dog here in a while. No. Or a little bit. A fat chicken. One man said, I see shadows. The other one said, I can't see anything at all. You see in this service from the beginning until now, everybody's seeing it differently. Some of it's moved you, and some of you ain't moving at all. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. What happened? They developed a system of survival built around what would not go away. That sounds like our communities. We have systems of survival built around what will not go away. If we would heal it, we would leave it. But if we can't heal it, we make it nice and comfortable and we fix it up and we say we like it. Nobody likes to, at least in Houston, nobody likes to be afraid to come out of the house at night. Nobody likes to be mugged. Nobody likes to be raped. Nobody likes to have their car stolen. Nobody likes to be lonely. Nobody likes to be fired. Nobody likes to be a victim of domestic violence. Nobody likes negativity. But if you're not careful, you will build a system around something that you have lost faith in so you can survive. I can just make it through one more service and feel that little tingle. Pastor, don't preach that kind of stuff to me. Pastor, don't teach that Bible stuff to me. I can just get in and I can go and make it back out. I'm going to mess with you today. Hold on. Are you defining yourself by a dysfunction? Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. Don't get me wrong and don't misunderstand me. Oh, I'm a Mexican. Oh, I'm a whitey. Oh, I'm a blackie. Oh, I'm a native. Oh, I'm a British. Oh, I'm Korean. Oh, I'm this. Or I'm that. Llamas ain't none of that. You know what I am? Because I've been born again. I'm Holy Ghost. Because I want it. And I run with this and I run with that and the all of it. And you lock yourself in a perpetual state of dysfunction and develop a culture survival system to fit what doesn't work in your life. We still have porches today. We have hangout spots. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I preach a little bit here?
Yeah.
We have hangout spots. Even in youth camps, you have certain young people that you always hang with. What about the one that's new, that is left lonely? What about the one that may be struggling? I know you got your faves, and that's fine. But what about the lonely? What about the hurt? What about the one that's trying to fit into your quote unquote clique? Uh-huh. Oh God. Right. But I'm taking courses online in the Bible. I can't hear. But I'm going to Bible college. I'm a preacher. I'm an altar work. Ho ho ho. I'm 16. Hang around with a 14 once in a while. Help them out. We have hangout spots. Certain gyms and workout spots in Houston. Everybody caters to certain types of people, folks. All the executives in those gyms and all the uppity mobile people go to one spot. I've watched it. All the wife swappers and daters and cruisers go to another spot. All the same-sex people hang out on another spot. All the ghetto cats listening to that ghetto music go to one spot. Oh, yeah. Come on now. Huh? Huh? They don't want to go over to the other side or to over there because they don't like the music. They don't want to go over there because they don't like the crowd. They don't want to go over there because they don't want to be bothered with being hit on. We still got porches. Lamas, huh? Don't go over there. The Apostolic Pentecostal Church, they're full of the devil. They're devil tongues, they told me. Hang out with us. Where you always been? Yeah, but I'm bored. At 18 years old, I was already looking. And you know, my wife was one of the first ones to witness to me, and I had another man that worked to witness to me. Way before then, at 18 years old, I was already bored, Sister Glover. Hang out with us. Man, you're boring. Hang out and come on to the service again. Yeah, but I go to sleep, and I wake up about 2 minutes before they dismiss. That's boring. That was just me. Can you speak for some of you cats? But that was me. We go to a spot. No. You want to pull me into that spot again? Hang out with us. Oh, I got an influence. Hang out with me. I done seen the change. I'm not perfect, but I'm heading toward that way. Huh? Come on now. America is full of porches. I got news for you. Some of our churches are porches. Yeah, I better not go there. Everybody else gets me. But I'm praying. I'm not angry. I don't say, oh, shucks, Glover, you can't have it this time. I won't come back to church. No. I can't be like that at the porch. Come on now. I'm trying to hurry up so I can preach here. Watch this. They are all built around like-minded people who like to be together, built around people who are afraid to get out of their box. There were some of us Friday night, you afraid to get out of your box. Yeah, y'all better smile here. Y'all better smile, but this is the way I always do it. Yeah, that's what's wrong with you. Get out of the box. Yeah, hallelujah. It's Sunday. I'm gonna hit you and run, so be all right. Afraid to get out of their comfort zone so you could have a real experience. You're stuck on a porch. People come to church wearing their best clothes and their best smiles, Brother Glover, and you said it many week in, week out. Everybody looks so happy, so we assume everything is okay. But we need to look beyond the facade this morning and realize that the pews are full of hurting people. Really, they're just sitting on their porch. Huh? I know this kind of Pentecostal preaching kind of puts us to sleep and all that. But we've lost teaching. In our camp meetings, conferences, we've lost some teaching. We got great preachers. But when we try to teach a seminar or something like that, man, we're lost. That's why everybody else is beating us. we're geared to 100 miles an hour. Nothing wrong with that. We're geared. Come on, give me 50. Blah, blah, blah. And then we don't even understand 10% of the message sometimes.
Oh, wow. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I'm here today because I have inspirational preaching, but I'm mostly here today, Pastor. It's because Pastor Stanley and Pastor Dees and Pastor Casterberry put some teaching into me. That's what making me stay. When the hard times come, makes me grind up. I remember that. Right here. You sit on the porch. Over here, maybe this section of this. I don't know. There's a family making $700 a week, and you have an outtake of $1,100 a week. Over here, maybe it's a family with 2-3 kids, who according to the dad and mom are both quote unquote failures. This person may be on your road, just found out that they have a cancer or a tumor. Billy and Mary. Hope nobody Billy and Mary. I just put some names in here. Billy and Mary. They came to church, just had a nasty fight. Each of thinking of divorce. Just last week, Juan found out that he was being laid off. Sarah, hope nobody named Sarah here. Sarah has tried her best to cover up the bruises when she comes to church from a drunken husband inflicted on her when he came home last night. Porches. Mm-hmm. We're here with our fine threads and all that. You don't know what they're going through, man. You don't know when you leave out of this place. And we juke and jive and praise God and all that. The teenager, though, feels that he or she is on a wreck being pulled in both directions. There are those of us here today with lesser hurts, but don't seem so small to us. An unresponsive spouse, boring job, poor grades, a friend or parent who is unresponsive, and on and on and on and on. The stories that we hear go on and on and on. The lonely, the dying, the discouraged, the exhausted. They're all here, ladies and gentlemen. They all congregate together on their porches. Now, they're survivors. That's true. They are survivors. They're not dead. They made it. But is surviving the success, according to what I read in the scriptures, is surviving the success that Jesus wants you to have? Or did he say, or maybe I'm reading it wrong, did he say to us, I come that you might have life? Man, that praise and worship was life. It wasn't dead. It was life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Oh Lord, I don't mind hanging around people who don't have anything. They don't have any wisdom. They don't have any knowledge. They don't have any money. They don't have any comforts. I don't mind being around people who don't have anything. But God, deliver me from people who don't want anything. Just deliver me from people who don't want anything, because I'm afraid it's contagious. And if I hang around dead people, I'm going to die. Is there anybody in this church who wants something from the Lord today? Huh? The man, his condition, 38 years, he was stuck. The Bible says Jesus saw him. He had been in this condition for a long time. I'm sure this wasn't just a supernatural revelation on the part of Jesus. Most likely anyone observing this man would have known he had a physical condition for many years. He had been stuck. And in verse 6, Jesus asked the man a very unusual question. Do you want to be made well?
Duh.
You want to be made well? Unusual question. What kind of question is that? The man was at the pool, wasn't he? Only sick people went to the pool. Wasn't it obvious he wanted to be well? I don't want to assume just because you came to church this morning, you wanted something from the Lord. Because I know better. Because I've been there too. Hurry up, let's get out of here. We got to go eat. I got places to go, people to see, things to do. Bye. Porches. There's all kinds of people who got up this morning, not only here, but all over Alaska and Texas, and got dressed and walked into the church, but really didn't want anything from the Lord. Think about it. You know some folk like that. They want the service to be over as quickly as possible so they can go back to doing what they want to do. Nothing. But there are a few of us in this house in Sterling today who came out because we need God. We want something from the Lord. I'm crying out. I want it. I want the Holy Ghost. I need a breakthrough. I need a healing. I just need you to do a number all over on me. I want it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Somebody in the house needs to yell, I want it. Don't tell me, ladies and gentlemen, what you want is not important, because your desires today direct you to your destiny. And if you don't want anything, you're not going to get anything. The Bible says, I will give you the desires, Lamas, of your heart. But if you do not have a desire, that he has nothing to give you. You need to fight back when something is wrong with you. You want to have it more than anybody else in the house, you ain't going to receive it. You can't be casual when you're in a state of crisis. I want what I've been seeking and praying for. I want more of God. I want more of his favor. I want more holiness. I want more breakthrough. If you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, then you want it, you're going to do it. But if you don't, you can walk in here and walk out the same way you came in. If you want the Holy Ghost and you're just really playing with God, then you're wasting our time and God's time. But if you really want it, I guarantee you, like a revival I just came from, within 2-3 minutes, somebody received the Holy Ghost.
Praise God, praise God.
Boom.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Or you can be like some people, and I don't down them. You might have a blockage. You might have something you're putting right in front. And like a man I know that finally got the Holy Ghost after 7 years. What's your porch? I've seen it both ways, and I imagine y'all have too. Huh? I want the Holy Ghost. I want a better job. I want to be another level in God. Exceptional desire will get you exceptional results. Talk to the aimers going on the program. Talk to the Bible college students. Talk to some of them that work and slave and save. And it's going to cost me $2,000. I can't buy no more games. I'm going to have a fall in no more threads for a little while. I want to go to Bible college. I want you to train me. I want to be a prayer warrior. I got to lay some stuff aside. How bad do you want it? Come on now. Some of the worst people become so successful because the same thing that made them bad made them very good. Because when they want something, I can't really say anything, because the real bad people in this place in Sterling right now don't want you to know their mess. Because whatever they went after it with fire. They had the right thing. It was just pointed in the wrong direction. But now that they turned around 180 degrees. Here goes again. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they would ask or think. People that astound me so much are the people that don't want anything. Whoever really wants it, that's just going to get their life changed. This is the one here that's going to break out of their prison, or their prison out of their environment. People who want it bad enough, in spite of their bad leg, in spite of their blind eye, in spite of their withered hand. They got enough fire on the inside to fight the problem on the outside. I want it. Somebody needs to holler one more time. I want it. I want it. I won't stop until I receive it. And Jesus saw the man. After a year, he wanted it. Somebody else always jumped in. And he waited till the next year. And next year came. Somebody always beat him. When I got the Holy Ghost, I don't know how many people got the Holy Ghost. But they invited me. And I didn't care if there was 10 receiving that. They had room for me. I did not wait, Sister Abbott, till, okay, let them get it, let them get it, let them get it. Okay, and maybe, this may be the pastor or who was praying for me, or maybe just God would be kind enough to take time out and come over where I am. No, that ain't the truth. He's waiting on you and he's waiting on me. How bad do you want it? Huh? How bad do you want it? How bad you want to go in this water? Come on now. Huh? Jesus saw a man's heart. And listen, in my mind, as I come to a close, I looked at it, and he wanted it so bad that Jesus said, "Rise." Yeah. He just spoke it, Brother Mario. Spoke it. He spoke it. That's all it took. Rise up. Take up thy bed. You're whole. You think the man told Jesus, "No, I'm going in the pool." I know you mean well, Jesus. I know you mean well. And I know you want to see me get up. He didn't believe grace. He wanted it. So much, I believe, now I might be wrong, for maybe some of you brothers were scholars, I believe he forgot about the pool. When Jesus speaks, I forget about everything. Why? Because at that moment, Brother Glover, at that moment, I know he's coming to my rescue. At that moment, I know he's going to set me free and be delivered. I know at that moment, he's going to save me. Because love is decided, I want it. And at that particular time, I'm blocking everybody and everything out of the way. Because it's Jesus and I.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. As we stand this afternoon, what are you going to eat? Home? Restaurant? When you're getting ready for your business and your new jobs, and commerce is still going on and all that. But in the meantime, why don't we check out our spirituality this morning? I know commerce is right outside this door in Sterling. I mean, out of this shot. Yeah, there's commerce from here all the way to the peninsula. Man, there's commerce going on. But I pray that nobody's stuck here this morning. But if you're stuck, we have a remedy. If you're stuck, we have the answer. And with the 43 years of no more marijuana for me, no more acid for me, I can testify today, some of you that hadn't heard it, that I'm still free.
Hallelujah.
I got a few problems here and there, but no more red wine, no more wine, not even a hit. I mean, you want just a nut. I'm strong enough now. I wasn't before, but I won't tell you to do this. I'm strong enough now that I can walk through Walmart right by their liquor department, and it won't even faze me. For others I know, they have to go all the way around to get their stuff. Fantastic. Don't you dare walk down that aisle. Other things I'm still struggling with, okay? Your struggle might not be mine, but mine might not be yours. But I want more this morning. Is anybody ready? Am I speaking to anybody here today? Are you ready? If you're ready, I want you to step out that aisle, and I want you to walk here to the throne of grace here today, and I want you to say, I want it! Everybody came different this morning. Come on. Everybody has a different need, so to speak. I want it.
Hallelujah.
All you got to say, please help me, Lord. And He will. Come on. I want it. Come on, your desire is in the right proportion to your destiny this morning. Woo, boy, I feel him. I feel him today. Oh, come on, listen, come on. Somebody needs to holler. I want it. Come on. How serious are you? How desperate are you? Not to worry about the one next to you. I want it, like the man at the pool of Bethesda. I want it. Speak, Lord. Speak. I'm listening. Speak your word and touch me and make me whole. Speak. Speak to me, Lord.